you'd give to everybody and anybody. So the Lord says, I saw what was in you, and I put an anointing on your life that all your life long, I'm gonna push things out of the way, your enemies out of the way, and you're going to be free to just flow in what I'm doing, and more, you will continue to learn the moving of the Holy Spirit. You'll always be at the right place at the right time. Just walk in confidence that you have been called in your hands and in your heart to bless people for all of your days, the Lord says to you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. We are going to continue a series. Mary McFarland wants to tell everybody, thank you for your prayers. She came out of her surgery well. She's doing well. We'll see her soon, as soon as she can recover. It won't take long. Does anybody need prayer tonight? Anybody need? Yes. Get this microphone right here, hon. It's already on.
Sandy's kinfolk, Scott, has a growth on his throat. And just even looking at it, the doctor said, that's probably cancer.
Who does that? Who
Scott.
Has that?
He comes here with Sandy. Is
yes,
that your
I
nephew?
I know Scott.
It's the nephew, right? Yeah, it's her nephew. And he comes to
Come
church with
here,
her
Sandy.
And brings her up here and everything. He needs a lot of prayer.
Come here. Come here for just a minute. It's your nephew? Your relative? Okay. Okay. Well, we've got something for Scott. How would that be?
That would be wonderful.
Yes, it would be. Absolutely, totally. Now you take this. Kelly's going to put her hand over your heart. And she's going to pray for Scott. It's going to transfer to that, just like in the book of Acts chapter 19. Okay. Acts chapter 19, where Paul had handkerchiefs put on his body. Kerchiefs, it's called in the King James. And when he preached, and then afterwards, he gave them to everybody. And they took them home, and they when they put them on people, they were healed. Do you believe that that's possible?
Yes, sir.
Do you believe that it's still possible?
Yes, sir.
Pray for her, Kel.
Lord, in Jesus' name, we plead the blood of Jesus right now over yes. Scott. And Lord, you know exactly where he's at right now. You know where he's sitting or standing or whatever. And God, we thank you that you're going to him right now. Lord, you're touching that place on his body, right? You know the very spot on his neck. So, Lord, I ask that right now, in Jesus' name, that healing begins to flow through that body and that area just ceases to even exist. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you for letting us pray. You tell Scott it's going to be all right. Amen, amen, and amen, and amen. And God is good. And it is written, my house, the house of the Lord, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Amen. We should always be ready to pray. Now, what I'd like to know is if there's anybody else in here tonight. Now, we're going to get out at 8 o'clock. That's just what I do. I've done it many years. So, but you know what's the most important is the people that are here in this place right now. Is there anybody else that needs prayer tonight, that has somebody that needs prayer? If there is, we'd like to pray with you. Your shoulder. Okay. All right, Nancy, put your Bible down. And I'm going to give you, actually, I'm going to give it to Millie. And Millie's going to pray the prayer of healing for that. And you use this until you don't need it anymore. And do one more thing. When you notice that God has touched you and helped you with that problem in your shoulder, tell somebody.
Oh, I will.
Tell somebody. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. I didn't say you would. Yeah, tell somebody. That's just part of the, I'm talking to all these people in here, all 10,000 of them. So that's why we're talking like that. Millie, I believe you've got the prayer. Put your hand on her. Put your hand on that shoulder, on that right shoulder, nice and easy like. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Kelly, I would like you to go take that microphone, if you would please, the green one, and go over there by Tony. And I want you to pray for her. I want to tell everybody in here, I don't think Tony will mind. Tony has just lost the son. Okay? And you just pray for her, and everybody pray with her.
Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask that you would do, God, what only you can do. And right now, that's give Tony comfort. Lord, you know every single thought that she has thought. And Lord, I just pray a peace right now over her mind and over her heart. Lord, every single thought, Lord, I just call it right into order right now. And Lord, I thank you for the peace of God that passes all understanding. And Lord, if there's anything else that's bothering Tony that she's concerned about, Lord, I ask you right now to wash over every concern and put her mind to rest, because Lord, you will not fail. And we just speak that forth right now. And I just speak a comfort and a peace in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen and amen. Millie, is your person here, or is it in the car? Is it? I want you to take your purse. You got your checkbook?
Yeah.
I want you to write a check to Tony, whatever amount you want to make it for.
Okay?
And I want to say to you, during this service, if at any time, or as we're going out, I believe God wants to help Tony financially. There's some things that's come up, and any time. Yeah, we can. There, look at that. Nancy had, I mean, she had it right there. Without going into any details, just out of the fact that you know me, I don't do this all the time. Anybody that wants, if you. No offering is too small. If you've got a dollar, if you've got a dime, give it to Tony in faith. You know, if it was just very minimal, let me tell you why. Because just anybody giving her anything, it will encourage her heart. She's looking at some situations right now. If you've got, I'm not kidding, if you got anything at all and you want to give it, give it. And if you don't, you don't have to. It's just, we've taken up our offering here. We know that. But we also know people's needs, and we try to meet people's needs. Amen? I am going to be preaching tonight, sharing, on a series. I've got two series going right now. I'm going to continue. I'm going to preach part four of the blessing series. And we're going to start in Proverbs chapter 4. I'm sorry, Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22. And if you turn there with me, this is what the word says in the King James translation of the Bible. The blessing of the Lord. It doesn't say blessings. It says the blessing of the Lord. The blessing. See, when the blessing of the Lord comes on your life, that's all the plural that you need. It came from God, and it's a blessing. When the word says here, the blessing of the Lord, it what? The blessing maketh rich. It maketh rich. You know what that means? It's not, we're not just talking about material things here. You can have everything in the world. I can remember years ago, a very, very, when Freddie Prinze killed himself. I said, God, how can that be? He had everything. He had everything. How? Why would a person, fame, youth, finances, money, blessing, very popular. Chico and the Man was a series that he did, one of the things that he did. And the Lord said, well, Angelo, the world can give those kind of things. People can get those things. You can work hard. You can get some things. And people still are not happy. People can be very, very sad, very broken. Okay, to the point that they take their life. Okay, we see it all the time here in Logan County, in the River Valley even. And but the blessing of the Lord, if you have the blessing of the Lord on your life, you've got it all. You've got everything. If you've got the blessing of the Lord on your life, you have life itself. Self as it, you've got the God kind of life. You've got the kind of life where even when you might not have as much as somebody else, God will make sure you've always got enough. Even though there is, it won't matter. I remember one time many years ago, a person was in here and they were telling how their house was on fire. And this was not our little, not her. It was somebody else. This was when you was a kid. And she just said, you know, somehow I just couldn't wait to come to church, and I just feel the joy of the Lord anyway. And that's what we're preaching about, the blessing of the Lord. It maketh one rich. And you know what? If you can go through bad times, hard times, disappointing times, and times of loss, and still have the joy of the Lord, that's the blessing of the Lord. And it doesn't exclude having material things. You can have those things too, but we live in such a material world. We're not talking about material things here. We're talking about everything. You can have it. You know, I watched Jeremiah Sutton back there. He has the joy of the Lord. He just loves to serve. He just loves to serve. He loves to try to make people laugh. He's just a happy person. He's got the blessing of the Lord on his life. And so that's what I'm talking about here. It includes everything, but it doesn't just mean material things. That's really, a lot of times, that's just not the point of life, is it? How many of you have been in seasons of your life when you really had a lot of stuff, but you just wasn't feeling great about everything? Anybody? Because that wasn't what you needed. Amen. Yeah, amen. There's a few. The rest of you, I think, are lying, but that's okay. No, I'm just teasing you. But I'm preaching tonight. I'm teaching the subject on the blessing of the Lord. It's an all-inclusive, covers everything for humans, blessing. And according to the Word, right before I get into that, turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to read verses 21 through 23. These are the words of Jesus Christ, and this is what he says here. I have two things that I'm trying to teach in this series. One is, what are the blessings of the Lord? Last week I covered that a little bit when I talked about my life. And as I was approaching 59 years old, I began to get spooked, and the devil began to say, well, your dad died when he was 59. And he said, your grandfather died when he was 59. He said, and you're going to die when you're 59. There's one thing I learned growing up on the streets of Chicago is if you're scared, don't let your enemy know that. So I just was still. And the word says this in the Psalms, when I am afraid, I will call upon the Lord. And I called upon the Lord. I didn't tell my family. The first time I ever told this was last Wednesday night. Before I ever told anybody. I didn't tell anybody but the Lord. And I was 59. I was still alive. 60, I was still alive. 65, I was still alive. 70, and I was still alive. 74, I was still alive. I'll be 75 this year. I'm pretty sure I'm still going to be alive. And the Lord said to me, Angelo, out of Psalm 91:16, with long life, I'm going to satisfy you. And son, every year that you live after 59, that's part of your blessing of the Lord on your life. And he said, you just let the devil know that. He's a liar. He's a murderer. The truth is not in him. And you have inside of you, Angelo, more power than the devil. And so does everyone in here. If you're not, even if you're not saved, you have the potential. You have the potential to have more power than the greatest evil on earth, which is Satan. And I believe most people, maybe everybody in here is born again. You just need to be taught how to use that power. And that's exactly what I know how to do. That's exactly what I'm going to do. So we're preaching the blessing of the Lord. It's just one blessing. And there's two parts about it. What is the blessing of the Lord? What kind of things are we talking about? And the second part that I'm teaching, and I'm just going to put it back, just as the Lord gives it to me, is how do you get the blessing of the Lord? How do you get it? Now, we're going to look at this here. These are the words of Jesus. And tonight, I'm wanting to share with you just a small piece of how you get the blessing of the Lord. How do you get and keep it? And these are the words of Jesus. And listen to what he says. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. But he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. He said, now, on that day, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name, have we not cast out devils? And in thy name, done many wonderful works? I'm going to tell you something in a kind way, but in an informative, so you understand. You can go to church all your life and not make it to heaven, and not have the blessing of the, you can do that. But I can tell you this, if you're born again, there's something inside of you. You want to be in your Father's house. You want to be with other believers, okay? You can even use the gifts of the Spirit, or it may look like it anyway, and not end up in heaven. That's what Jesus is saying right here. He's trying to teach something very important. It's possible to do that. And now let's just read a little further. Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have not cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? How many of you know, you could probably get this one. There are many people that do wonderful things. I just heard of somebody, a big star. They just out of their trillions of dollars, they just gave a whole bunch of money to some kind of thing recently, but they may not be born again. I don't know. I'm not good enough to judge people, but I'm saying you can do all kinds of good things because there's all kinds of reasons people do all kinds of good things. I can sure tell you this. There's all kinds of reasons that some folks come to church, and I've watched it with these youngsters that come here. They play, holy, 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 look at me, I'm holy. And what they're really here for is to get a boy or a girl out of a church. And they'll play that for a while. That's how come, if you're single, sitting here tonight or hearing me, and you want to be married again, you can do things to make sure you don't marry an imposter and get the wrong person. It's a lot better to get the right person, isn't it? Isn't it? Yeah. Because it's possible to get the wrong person, isn't it, at times. Here's what I've learned as a pastor. In the River Valley where we live, a person can only, middle-class people like us, we can only be married about three times. And then you just run out of time, you run out of money, you run out of everything. So wherever you are in here, if you're single, and those of you that may be hearing me, as some of you, God bless the ones that told me how much they like it, let's try to get it right this time. Amen? I mean, let me ask you something in here. Is there anybody in here that could say this? And I've told this to many people. It is better to be alone than be with the wrong person. Let me tell you. If you believe that, put your hand up in here. Now keep your hand up for a minute, because if you're just listening to this and you believe it, put your hand up too. You know what? And a lot of these folks, they know experientially what it means to marry the wrong imbecile. Okay, thank you. Now, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Now, I'm going to tell you something about the blessing of God. You got to know God. You got to know God to get the blessing of God. And there's got to be a part of you that wants more than the blessing. You just want God because you've tasted of the Lord. You've seen that he's good, and you just love him, even on your bad days. Is there people in here, even on your bad day, you love God? Huh? You're glad that you've got him, huh? Amen, and amen, and amen, and amen. That's how good he is. I've had a lot of bad days, and I'm going to tell you something. I cannot remember, Kelly, Millie, I don't ever remember. I've had bad things happen to me. Look it, if you're going to be a pastor, bad things are going to happen to you, okay? If you're going to be a Christian, bad things are going to happen to you. But I personally have, because of the way God dealt with me, I have never, have I ever blamed God? Have I ever been mad at God because something bad happened? Can you, if you can remember, say yeah. Because you know what? That's just part of the way I feel about God. You know what I thought? If something bad happened to me, somehow I was probably the cause of it. I probably drew first blood, if you know what I mean. You know what I mean? Amen. Yes, you do. All right. I'm preaching on the blessing of God, and tonight it's how do you get the blessing of God? Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 in the King James translation. And I'm going to share. We're zeroing in on this. We're hitting on this. Every word that I'm saying, I'm hitting on. How do you get the blessing of God? Well, one of the things you got to be totally in love with God. If you're totally in love with God, and you just keep along certain, the blessing of God's going to come out. You're going to live longer than you would have. You're going to have more than you would have. Things are going to be better than they would have. This is what the word says. But without faith, everybody say faith. Now let me tell you something. Jesus, when he was prophesying of this day, said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? In other words, he was saying, there won't be much of it. I'm trying to keep something alive, and I have in my life. Faith in God is a key to having the blessing of God on your life. Faith in God. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by the five senses. We don't walk by what we can see, hear, feel, taste, or smell. If that's all you got, you're no better than a dadgum coyote. I killed two of them about a month ago on the same day. I mean, anybody could do that. No, you got to have something inside of you telling you where to go, telling you, don't go there. Don't get involved with that. Comes from faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, we read a verse some weeks ago. When a man or woman's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies. Remember that verse? But without faith, it is impossible. It's impossible. Now, what does that mean? Well, when God says it, I believe it. You got to have faith. Now, let me give you a little help here, because the word says, speaking of salvation, it takes faith. Now, that faith, the word says, it's not your own faith. It's a gift from God. So every person, red and yellow, black and white, woman, man, and they ain't nothing. You're either a woman or a man. Not like some of these bad people. I can't say that word. My daughter just said, he's got a scolding coming the next time I get him alone. I didn't mean to say the R word. It didn't used to be that bad. Let's move away from there. But for he that cometh to God. See, it's possible to come to God and not believe that he is. For he that cometh to God must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Now, if you love God, it's like when you love anybody else. You want to know what the favorite color is. You want to call them. You want to try to do nice things for them, make life better. And if you love God, it's the same way. That's what you'll do. You'll do those kind of things. You'll try to, and by that, I told you that this last week, and I'll tell you this week. I came up with a phrase I just got from out of my love for God. I just love God. Does that mean I've been holy, holy, holy? Heck no. No, I just love God. I said, God, what is there anything I could do for you that nobody else wants to do? I'll do it. Give me, and you know, he's given me things to do, and I've done them and been blessed for it. But that came out of love for God. So one of the things I've got to share with you, really, really clear here, is that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, I've never sold drugs for a living. But I did, sadly, I took some. And when I did, I'll tell you, people, my friends and people that wanted to know, I knew where the good stuff was. I knew who to point them at. Tell them. And it's the same. When I got saved, I just fell in love with just telling people about God. And seeing people get saved. And what the devil hates about me, I don't care if I've never seen you before. I don't care if you're in the middle of a crime. I don't care what color you are. If you stop anywhere and you say, act like you're listening to me about God, and I'll put little testers out there, I'm going to talk to you about God. Ain't I? Anywhere I go. Why? Because that's how much love I have for him. And one of the ways I can express it to him, and he loves it to make us a witness. And without the God kind of faith, it's impossible to believe, to please God. And what the God kind of faith is, according to this verse, because he that comes to God must believe that he is. Now, if you think everybody that comes into church or everybody that you talk God with, people, a lot of them keep them in the hip pocket. They can pull the God card out, and they can talk the lingo, especially here in the South. Everybody knows how to talk about God. Bless God. Hallelujah. There's all kinds of people saying hallelujah. You got to know them a little bit better to see what the fruit's there. But those that come to God must believe that he is. They must believe that God really is, that there really is a God. And that and not only that, what I found out is that he is a rewarder of those who will diligently seek him. Smith Wigglesworth, a great faith healer, he said, I don't know God how I feel, because I wake up in the morning one way I feel like this, one day I feel like that. He said, I know God by the promises, the 75 plus 100 promises that are in the Word to mankind. You can take that to the bank. Whatever the Lord says that you can have in his Word, you can have it. That's just all there is to it. Last place tonight. And this is the verse that's going to put it all together. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13. The only way you're going to find God, only way you're going to find God at all. And ye shall seek me and find me. It really means only when you search for me with all you got, with all your heart. Half consorted, well, I'll think about that. I wonder about that. No, it's when you really shut yourself in and say, God, I need to know some things. I want to learn some things. Reveal yourself to me. Who said it best? I don't think anybody in the Bible said it any better than Moses said it. He said, God, show me your glory. Show me your glory, God. Ooh, he was saying, I want to know you. I love you. I'll do what you tell me to do, but God, show me your glory. Show me something about you you haven't showed anybody else. David loved God so much, the Ark of the Covenant was taken one time, and they recaptured it, and they got it back, and David got the Ark of the Covenant, and he made a tabernacle, a tent for it. And for about 6 months, he had it all to himself. He loved it so much, he didn't want to share it with anybody else. It was called David's Tabernacle. He loved God that much. He just loved God. And after that, he sinned. And after David sinned, you know what God said? All the way, hundreds of years later, in the book of Acts, God says, David's a man after my own heart. I'm going to tell you something. Whatever you think, you ain't going to reach God by being holy, holy, holy. There's holes in your holiness. Nobody can reach God by being holy. You can reach God by loving him, by finding out who he is, by just saying, I just got to know. Help me, God. Help me, God. Help me to know you. I want to know you. The Apostle Paul said, oh, that I might know you in the power of your resurrection and in the fellowship of your suffering. I even want to know you by your suffering. That's pretty powerful stuff. If you've been moved, I want you to make an altar. Come to the altar, make an altar. And what I want you to do is get your heart ready to take communion, however it is that you do that. Whatever you want to say to God. You can tell God anything. There's a lot of people, you better watch what you tell them.